rather than reading about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and the gopis from the Srimad Bhagavatam, I was thinking to just talk a little bit about the, particularly the identity and the mood of Lord Balaram. I won't discuss very much on the pastimes because I figure that will probably happen this afternoon. So often when Prabhupada would give class on different appearance days, he would quote from the Das Avatar Stotra, because as you know, the Das Avatar Stotra, it covers the 10 major, or the 10 lila avatars of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And also it includes Lord Balaram. So there's a nice prayer there. Vahasi vipushi vishade vasananjaladam halahati biti milita yumanabham keshavadrita haladalarupa jai jagadishare jai jagadishare. O Keshava, O Lord of the Universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of the plough-wielding Balaram, all glorious to you. You may notice, if you closely look at Balaram there, that on his right hand he has a small plough painted there. In case you ever wondered what that little painting was on the end of his hand there. It's kind of like the shaft, and like an Indian plough, not like the plough you see here on the back of a tractor. It would kind of look a bit strange if you had one of those on his hand. But what they are is that they're actually quite big. They're just the head of the plough is about this wide. And it's shaped, it has a long piece starts off about this thick, and then it goes up thin like that, which is about that long. And so that comes down like that, and the other piece goes up like this, which is shorter, and it actually has the plough chisel in it, and usually a metal piece. And then a long handle, usually about 6 or 8 foot long. And it's kind of interesting to watch them use it, because what they do is the long handle, they hook up in between the bullocks, and then the other part, the weight of the big piece at the back, holds the plough down. So Lord Balaram, he used to carry one of those on his shoulder, and that was one of his main weapons. And, they're quite heavy. It's not just something you can... But he would wield it like it was just, a plaything. Very, very strong. On your brilliant white body, you wear garments coloured like a fresh rain cloud, the same colour as the river Jamuna, whom you frighten with the blows of your ploughshare. So there's a well-known pastime. The son of Krishna was kidnapped. He actually fell in love with the daughter of Duryodhana. And I can't remember which son it was. It was Pradyumna or... Sambha. Okay, thank you. Sambha. So Sambha, there was some arrangement anyhow. He wound up living in the private apartments of Duryodhana's daughter, whose name was, who remembers her name? Huh? Lakshman, yes, thank you, Maharaji. Lakshman. And it came to the attention of the members of the Kaurava dynasty that it appeared that she was having some connection with a man. We don't need to explore that too much, but that's how it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Anyhow, so they went into the private apartments and they found Lakshman there. And then they kidnapped him. Well, not kidnapped him, they imprisoned him. And so word got back to the Yadavas, particularly Krishna and Balaram, that they had kidnapped Sambha. And so they were going to send an army there, to defeat the Kauravas and to get back Sambha. And Balaram, he said, well, no, I have a connection with Duryodhana, so I will go there and sort it out. And then so he went and he was at the gates of Hastinapura, and he was calling, bring Sambha here, otherwise I will have to do the needful. And so they basically ignored him, and they just they snubbed him, really. The way he dealt with him was who do you think you are? He said, okay, I'll show you. So he got his plough, and he banged it into the ground just in front of Hastinapura, and he started to drag the city down into the Jamuna. Can you imagine that? How powerful he is? And if you go and see, because you can go to Old Delhi, you can see the walls of what they say is Hastinapura. And they're gigantic, gigantic. And they're 5,000 years ago, those walls are there. And so he started to drag the city of Hastinapur down to the Jamuna. And then all the residents of Hastinapur started to realize, oh, maybe we said the wrong thing. You know? Because Balaram has a reputation of getting quite angry, and this often has severe repercussions, just like with Rama Harshan, when he disrespected Lord Balaram. Does anyone remember what Lord Balaram did? Huh? Piece of grass? Any particular type of grass? Kusha grass. He took Kusha grass. And what did he do with the Kusha grass?
He made it soft.
Yeah, he just touched him. Just touched him. And Kusha grass is very interesting. I don't know if anyone... Has anyone ever seen Kusha grass? Huh? Not in a mat, in growing form. Have you seen? What does it look like?
Very, very soft.
It's very soft, but it's interesting because it comes up, it has like a sharp, like spear-like point, and then has a really long filament that comes out. So Balaram, he took that tip, that filament, and he just touched him with it, and killed him instantly. So this was because he disrespected him. So many extraordinary pastimes Lord Balaram performs. And, oops, where's my little card? I haven't seen you with all my others. We're going to read a little bit from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is the first section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is explaining. There's a series of verses right in the first chapter, which is kind of like the whole beginning section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Krishna's Kaviraj, in the next six or seven chapters, he goes through and explains all those verses in detail. So in the fifth chapter is called the Glories of Nityananda Balaram. Because as we understand from the teachings of Narottam Das Thakur, explains Balaram Hoilo Nitai. Explains how Brajendran Anandana say, Sachi Sutta Hoilo say, Balaram Hoilo Nitai. So he's saying, the son of Brajendranandana, the son of the king of Braj, Braja Indra Nandana, the son of the king of Braj, he is descended as the son of Sachi. Sachi Sutta Hoilo say. So, Sachi Sutta, son of Sachi. And Balaram Hoilo Nitai. Balaram, he came as Lord Nityananda. So this fifth chapter of the Adi Leela is all about the glories of Nityananda Balaram. And we'll just read a few verses from this and just talk a little about it. So we'll start with verse 8. Saying, Lord Balaram is the original Sankarshan. He assumes five other forms to serve Lord Krishna. He himself helps in the pastimes of Krishna, and he does the work of creation in four other forms. So we see here it's explaining how Balaram, he manifests himself in these different forms. And actually we see that, it'll explain here how all the creation is done, even though it's saying that Krishna is, Ishvara Parama Krishna, that he's the Supreme Lord, he's the controller, he's the creator. He actually does none of these things himself directly. The work of creation, annihilation, maintenance, all this stuff he himself personally does not do. He expands himself in so many different energies. So the first one of his expansions is Lord Balaram. And he's explaining here that he expands into five forms. And in one form, he assists or he participates directly in the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in four other forms, then he engages in the work of creation. And text 10. He executes the orders of Lord Krishna in the work of creation. And in the form of Lord Shesha, he serves Krishna in various ways. And we'll just read a little bit from Prabhupada's purport here. According to expert opinion, Balaram, as the chief of the original quadruple forms, is also the original Sankarshan. So, it's explained here in this section, I'm not sure if this is purport or not, but it's explained that when Krishna, he expands into Balaram. And Prabhupada would say sometimes that actually the only difference between Krishna and Balaram is the colour of the dhoti. There's actually no difference between the two. They have similar, they have the same potency, they have the same, everything the same. Of course, we understand that Krishna is the original, it's just as is explained by Lord Brahma. He says, dipacha evihita santarama vipetsa dipayate vipetihetu samandama yastadrig evihicha vishnutayadvati govindama dipurushantamaham bhajami. He uses a very interesting analogy. He's saying just as the light of one candle, you know, just like you take a candle and you light another candle from that candle, what's the difference? When you look at them, they're exactly the same. The light is the same, the heat is the same, everything's the same. But the difference is that one is the original. So it's like that. And Bhaktisiddhanta, he translates, he says that, and the Lord, he expands himself in the same mobile fashion. It's very interesting that he uses this word mobile. You know, it's very fluid. It's just like there's no difference, there's no lack of potency, there's no anything. You know, it's just like, you know, just for instance, you know, we expand ourselves in this material world, we have children. Yeah? And you look at the child, completely different from the parents. Yeah? Even has its own unique character, personality, you know, different tendencies, things like that. Yet when Krishna expands himself, he can expand himself exact replicas. Just like right now in the Bhagavatam, we're on the first verse of the Rasa Dance. And we see here, he's actually explaining in this verse, that when the gopis, when they were dancing with Krishna, Krishna manifested himself as, remember how many gopis there are?
3 million.
So in between every pair of gopis there was a form of Krishna. So there's 1.5 million forms of Krishna. And they're all exactly identical. And this is the amazing, you know, one of the amazing qualities of Krishna. He can expand himself in unlimited forms, unlimited plenary portions, which have the full potency of the original, except one is the original. Krishna is original. And also he expands it, sometimes we see with these different Leela avatars, discusses the different Leela avatars, we're just reading the song Das Avatar Stotra, that for each of these avatars, these Leela avatars, then Krishna manifests a particular potency in that avatar, just like with Nrisimhadev, he manifests his potency of anger. In full, completely manifested there. So the different avatars, he manifests the energy, you know, according to the pastimes that is to be performed. But nonetheless, he manifested himself in so many different ways to perform different functions. So Lord Balaram, he expands himself as Sankarshan. And then from this Sankarshan comes Mahashankarshan, which is the origin of the first Chatavyuha. There's quite an interesting technical explanation of this in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. And then from the Sankarshan in this first Chatavyuha, then expands another Sankarshan, and you have the second Chatavyuha. And from this, all the different Vishnu incarnations, such as the Karnadakshaya Vishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Shivadakshaya Vishnu, etc., they all manifest. And then all the incarnations that come into this world, they come through Chiradakshaya Vishnu. So Krishna explains in all these expands in all these different ways in order to manifest pastimes, to create the universe, etc. like this. So Prabhupada explains a bit of the purport. According to expert opinion, Balaram, as the chief of the original quadruple forms, is also the original Sankarshan. Balaram, the first expansion of Krishna, expands himself in five forms. Mahashankarshan, Karanabdishayi, Karanadishayi is the same as Karanadakshayi, yeah? Same thing, or Mahavishnu, same thing. And Chiradakshayi Vishnu and Sesha. These five plenary portions are responsible. Everyone understands what the word plenary means? It means full. They're full parts of Krishna. He has plenary forms and partial forms, and you know, so many different types of expansions are there. These five plenary portions are responsible for both the spiritual and material cosmic manifestations. In these five forms, Lord Balaram assists Lord Krishna in his activities. The first four of these forms are responsible for the cosmic manifestations. And we see with Mahashankarshan, from him he's expanding the first Chatavyuha, then you know, subsequently the second Chatavyuha. And these forms of Vishnu are largely responsible for the creation of the universe. And then from Karnadakshaya Vishnu, Garbhadakshaya, Shiradakshaya Vishnu, as we understand, you know, Karnadakshaya Vishnu, he lies down within the causal ocean. And then when he's sleeping, all the universe has come out like little golden threads, just come out of the pores of his body, and it's just like flowing. I don't know if you remember when you were a child, did anyone have one of those bubble blowing things? You know, you put in the water and you blow bubbles, and just like the stream of bubbles would come out. Yeah? So just imagine like that, you know, you've got bubbles coming out of every pore of your body, just a constant stream, just like that. So it's just like that. It's coming out of the Lord's body, just like a stream of bubbles. But the little golden threads, little clusters of universes, yeah? And they land down on the water. And then from that, all these universes, they sit down on the water, and then he expands again as Garbhadakshay Vishnu and enters into these universes. And the universes are dark and empty and hot. And so what happens when you're hot? You sweat. You perspire. But of course, when the Lord perspires, it's not like our sweat. You know, like, you know, if you ever go to a gym or anything like that, you know, sweat's, you know, smelly. Yeah? And he sweats. And not just a little bit of sweat. He sweats a lot. Yeah? And he half fills the globe of the universe. And this universe we're in, does anyone remember how big it is? From one side to the other, 4 billion. Yeah. So the radius is 2 billion. Yeah, I always get that radius, circumference, diameter. So it's 4 billion miles across. And he fills that under, that egg-shaped thing, half with water. How much sweat is that? I mean, even on the hottest day, how much would you sweat? Maybe half a cup? I mean, Manigriva Prabhu is a hard worker. How much would you sweat on a hot day? Couple of cups. Huh? He's not working hard enough. Can you imagine a couple of cups of sweat? I mean, you know, that's on a whole day's hard work. You come up with a couple of cups of sweat, and as we mentioned before, it's probably, you know, not the most sweet smelling thing in the world. Huh? But imagine that the Lord, you know, he and also when you sweat, when you work hard, what do you have to do afterwards? Well, you take a bath, but also you have to replenish your energies. But we see that the Lord, he enters into the universe as Garbhadakshay Vishnu. And because he's hot, he sweats. That's where we get this from. It's not like, you know, it's just something that's unique to human beings. We got it from Krishna. You know, because Vishnu is doing it, because he sweats when he gets hot, therefore we sweat when we get hot. He's the original. It all comes from the Lord. So then he fills this universe half with water, yet he does not need to replenish his energies. Because he's self-sufficient. All the energies emanate from him, as he says in the Gita, Ham Savasya Pravo, Mata Savavavatate, Iti Makva Bhajante Mam, Buddha Bhavas Manvitaha. Everything emanates from Krishna. I was listening to this class yesterday, Prabhupada was talking about creation. And this gave me a really interesting idea of creation. He's saying that in this universe, we see in the material world, people talk about how, you know, like they build a house and say, I created a house. Huh? But did they actually create anything? Think about it. What did they do? In order to build a house, what did you have to do? You had to destroy so many things. Huh? Like you build a house out of wood, or just like now the Prabhus are fixing the stairs here. Right? So they're creating something, it appears. But in order to get the architraves, or whatever it is you call them, you know, the bits of wood that go up the side, trees had to be cut down, so things were destroyed. Yet we see when Krishna creates, what does he destroy? Nothing. He just creates. Right? But we destroy. And that's the difference. And everything we do, we're destroying something. So we may call it creation, but in reality it's destruction. Because we're destroying some feature of Krishna's creation. Yet we see that Lord Vishnu, he sweats, you know, in this little, this is one, keep in mind, this is one of the smallest universes. Right? And it's 4 billion miles across. So he's sweating in all the different universes, and there's unlimited universes. Prabhupada compared it like, you know, a bag of mustard seeds. And when we did the Abhishek for Panchatattva, one of the things you do in an Abhishek is you cover their body with a substance called tilpishti, which is sesame seeds ground up with a little bit of water to form like a nice, like a mustardy consistency paste, you know, like you get a French mustard, that kind of paste, like a coarse mustard. And you, excuse me, you cover the entire body of the deity with this, and the idea is this paste is protecting them from and removing the effect of inauspicious glances. So, like when we did the Abhishek for Gornitai, you may have seen me smear this white paste all over their bodies, and this is to protect them. Of course, we understand Krishna doesn't need protection, but it's the mood of the devotee. The devotee wants to offer protection, just like you see with Yasodhamayi, you know, when Trinavarta captured Krishna and took Krishna up in the sky, and Krishna came back down, and they got the the cow tail, and they circled his body with a cow tail and flicked urine on him to protect him. He doesn't need protection. I mean, look, he just killed Trinavarta. You know, just a little baby, 6 months old, and he killed a big, big demon. What does he need protection for, you know? I mean, who there could kill such a demon? Yet the mood of the devotees they want to protect. So when we did the Panchatantra Abhishekas, we had these bags this big of mustard seeds. Imagine how many mustard seeds are in that bag. It would take you months and months, maybe years to count it. I mean, actually these days they use a machine to count it because it takes so long. Yet Prabhupada, he says this universe is just like one seed in a big bag of mustard seeds. And it's very interesting. You look at the size of this universe, it's a mass that's 4 billion miles across. And that, by the way, is the inside measurement, not the outside measurement. The outside measurement is many billions of times bigger than that, because you have this 4 billion miles, then after that you have a layer of Earth, which is 40 billion miles thick. So that just the Earth layer, right, you have 4 billion, then 40 and 40, 84 billion miles. Then after that, 10 times the size of that is Earth, water. So 400 billion miles thick is the water, etc., 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 up the false ego, which is, I don't even know what the number would be. It's just such a big number. There's 7 layers, and each layer is 10 times thicker. So that universe is, gigantic. And it sits on the head of Sesha, like a tiny little mustard seed, and he can't even feel it. And all the universes are sitting on his hoods, and he can't even feel them. And keeping in mind that this is the smallest of the universes. Our Lord Brahma has 4 heads. It's described in the Krishna book, when Lord Brahma goes to see Krishna, that there are Brahmas with millions of heads. So, the proportion of the amount of heads, the universe is that much bigger. It's all proportionate. So we see, that there's a Lord Brahma with millions of heads, then obviously the universe is going to be millions of times bigger than this one. And it's sitting on the head of Ananta, and he can't even feel it. And this Ananta is an expansion of Lord Balaram. And then after entering into the universes as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, then from his navel comes the lotus stem. And then from that comes the whole creation, the planets are in the lotus stem, and all the living entities enter into the universe. And then the Lord expands himself as Shiradakshaya Vishnu, who is, the pole star. Sweetadvip, this is where the Lord resides within this universe. And he also, as Shiradakshaya Vishnu, and all the incarnations enter into the universe through him. It's just a mechanism. It doesn't mean they're expansions of Shiradakshaya Vishnu. It's just a mechanism. It's just like the doorway, We go in and out of the room through the doorway, but it doesn't mean we're creations of the door. Right? It's just a mechanism whereby the avatars enter into the universe. And also then he expands as the Antaryami, the Lord Anta, within, the Lord within. He's the Lord within the heart of every living entity. Right? So it's quite extraordinary the way the Lord manifests himself. These 5 plenary portions are responsible for both the spiritual and material cosmic manifestations. So even though Krishna is saying in the Gita, he says, Hamsa Vasya Prabhu, he's saying that I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. He says that. But it doesn't mean that he's actually directly doing it. It's not like he's got the hammer and nails, like the Prabhus are up there, nailing things and cutting things. Krishna doesn't do that. He just, desires, and through his, Parashya Shakti Vividaya Shrute, it explains in the Upanishads, he has multifarious energies, and through his different energies, the universe, the whole creation is going on, but he himself is not directly involved in it. And it explains here how Balaram is doing this. In these 5 forms, Lord Balaram assists Lord Krishna in his activities. The first 4 of these forms are responsible for the cosmic manifestations, whereas Sesha is responsible for the personal service to the Lord. Sesha is called Ananta, or unlimited. Now, it's also good to understand, it gets a little bit confusing here, because one form, and I'm not completely clear on this, so I'm not going to try to explain it, but one form of Sesha or Ananta is actually a Shakta Vaishavata. So it's a little confusing there. And the other form is directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Shesha is called Ananta or unlimited because he assists the personality of Godhead in his unlimited expansions by performing an unlimited variety of services. Sri Balaram is the servitor Godhood who serves Lord Krishna in all affairs of existence and knowledge. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who is the same servitor Godhead, Balaram, performs the same service to Lord Gauranga by constant association. And text 11. In all the forms he tastes the transcendental bliss of serving Krishna. That same Balaram is Lord Nityananda, the companion of Lord Gaurasunda. Now just move up a few verses and explain a little bit more about Mahashankarshara. And actually this there's a lot of in this chapter there's a lot of heavy philosophy. There's one purport here which is about 12 pages long. And Prabhupada very strongly speaks against the philosophy presented by Sankaracharya and Sankaracharya's understanding of the Vishnu avatars and the position of the jiva. This is starting verse 42. There, the personal feature of Balaram, called Mahashankarshan, is the shelter of the spiritual energy. He is the primary cause, the cause of all causes. One variety of the pastimes of the spiritual energy is described as pure goodness, Vishuddha-sattva. It comprises all the abodes of Vaikuntha. The six attributes are all spiritual. Know for certain that they are all manifestations of the opulence of Sankarshan. So we're just basically just explaining a little about the position of Lord Balaram. You know that his potency is actually very, very. I mean, we cannot actually. The reason I was explaining a little bit about the universe is you're trying to grasp sort of the magnitude. And as I was saying, we're talking about a small universe. The magnitude of what the Lord has created from His body. Just come out from his body, and he doesn't have to go eat the big Sunday feast just to replenish all the energy or anything like that. He just manifests it out of his body, completely self-sufficient. He doesn't have to get anything from anywhere else. So just to try and understand the nature of this personality. There is one marginal potency known as the jiva. Mahashankarshan is the shelter of all jivas. Sankarshan is the original shelter of the Purusha, from whom this world is created and in whom it is dissolved. He, Sankarshan, is the shelter of everything. He is wonderful in every respect, and his opulences are infinite. Even Ananta cannot describe his glory. And it's said that Ananta says she has thousands of thoughts. And since time immemorial, since before creation, he has been chanting the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And even with his thousands and thousands of mouths, he cannot reach the end of the glories of the Lord. What to speak about what the Lord's capable of doing? Even trying to talk about it, a personality like Ananta Shesh cannot do it. And we've only got one mouth, how much can we do? He's got thousands upon thousands of mouths and he can't do it. That Sankarshan, who is transcendental pure goodness, is a partial expansion of Nityananda Balaram. He is the Lord of all living entities. He maintains this material world, and he is its Lord. In the ages and millenniums of Manu, he appears as different incarnations to establish the principles of real religion and vanquish the principles of irreligion. Unable to see him, the demigods go to the bank of the ocean of milk and offer prayers to him. He then descends to maintain the material world. His unlimited opulences cannot be counted. That Lord Vishnu is but a part of a plenary portion of Lord Nityananda, who is the source of all incarnations. A short purport here. The Lord of Svetadrup has immense potency for creation and destruction. Sri Nityananda Prabhu, being Baladeva himself, the original form of Sankarshan, is the original form of the Lord of Svetadrup. That same Lord Vishnu, in the form of Lord Shesha, holds the planets upon his heads, although he does not know where they are, for he cannot feel their existence upon his heads. His thousands of extended hoods are adorned with dazzling jewels surpassing the sun. The universe, which measures 500 million yojanas in diameter, rests upon one of his hoods like a mustard seed. That Anantashesh is the devotee incarnation of Godhead. He knows nothing but service to Lord Krishna. With his thousands of mouths, he sings the glories of Lord Krishna. But although he always sings in that way, he does not find an end to the quality of the Lord. The four verses come from his lips, and they in turn repeat it in the transcendental love of Godhead. He serves Lord Krishna. So this is you know, as you understand, there's four sampradayas. Does anyone know the four sampradayas? Hopefully you all know. Any guesses? Huh? Sri? Rudra Sampradaya? Huh? Brahma Sampradaya? And? Kumara Sampradaya, yeah. So they're the Kumara Sampradaya, the four Sampradayas. So we see that this Sampradaya of the Kumaras has come from Lord Balaram, because they're hearing from Sankarshan. And actually, Balaram is often addressed as the Adi Guru, same as Nityananda is also considered to be the Adi Guru. So this transcendental knowledge is coming through him. He says, Lord Krishna in all the following forms: umbrella, slippers, pillow, garments, resting chair, residence, sacred thread, and throne. So you see, all these things, everything in the deity room, practically speaking, is a direct manifestation of Lord Balaram. Everything that's used to serve Krishna, even the mat the pujaris are standing on, it's there for serving the Lord. We should understand these things and respect these things accordingly. Just like when we're on the altar and we're doing things, we're careful about how we treat things, because these things are directly a manifestation of Lord Balaram. Even things like he manifests as the Lord's Brahman thread, he manifests as his shoes, he manifests as you know, everything.
I'm
not sure about that. Okay. The Vaishnavas are telling me the flute also. You know, umbrellas, slippers, bed armors, everything like that. So the same as when we're doing our service, even like, you know, we're maybe making the Lord's bed or washing the plates in the paraphernalia room, setting up the aarti lamps. It's going to help us if we understand, you know, that this is actually directly a manifestation of the Supreme Person of Godhead. It's not just like it's an aarti lamp, it's just a piece of metal, so it doesn't matter how I throw it about or drop it on the floor or anything like that. No, we need to understand, it's for our own benefit to understand that we are directly dealing with the Lord. It's not just material energy, He's manifest, it's spiritual energy. And everything that is connected with the Lord, it becomes spiritual in its nature. Thus he is called Lord Shesha, for he has attained the ultimate end of servitude to Krishna. He takes many forms of Krishna as his Lord. Just another short section we'll read here. Playing like a bull, Lord Balaram fights with Krishna head to head, and sometimes the Lord massages the lotus feet of Lord Balaram. He considers himself a servant and knows Krishna to be his master. Thus he regards himself as a fragment of his plenary portion. Acting just like ordinary boys, they played like roaring bulls as they fought each other, and they imitated the calls of various animals. Sometimes, when Lord Krishna's elder brother, Lord Balaram, felt tired after playing and lay his hand on the lap of a cowherd boy, Lord Krishna himself served him by massaging his feet. Who is this mystic power, and where has she come from? She must be the energy of my master, Lord Krishna, for who else can bewilder? This was when Lord Brahma stole the cows and the cowherd boys, and that was Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram was reflecting on that. And there's another verse here. What is the value of a throne to Lord Krishna? This is what the pastor was telling about before, when the Kauravas tried to flatter Balaram to bribe him into going against Krishna. What is the value of a throne to Lord Krishna, the master of the various planetary systems, except the dust of the lotus feet, of his lotus feet on their crowned heads? That dust makes the holy places sacred, and even Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lakshmi, and I myself, who are all portions of his plenary portions, eternally carry that dust on our heads. Lord Krishna is the Lord Krishna is in control of all of his. They dance as he makes them do so. So it's quite significant. I feel that we see that, you know, like we was describing the nature of Lord Balaram and how he expands himself as Mahashankarshan and the Chaturvyuha forms, etc., like that. And then the different Vishnu avatars, and he creates all the universes out of his body, and extraordinarily powerful person, just amazing in every respect. And what is his position? How does he see himself? Yeah, he takes the position of being a servant. And a very nice verse that Krishnas Kaviraj is quoting here, this Ekalishvara Krishna, Adasabhi Britta, Yari Yachin Nachai, Se Taichi Karanitya. He's the controller. All others are his servants. And this doesn't just mean all the Jeevas. This applies to all the Vishnu avatars. We see that every single Vishnu avatar, Lord Balaram, the different Vishnu avatars like Karanakshay, Gavadakshay, and Chiradakshay Vishnu, they all take the mood of servant. They all serve Krishna. So if the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know, like Krishna himself is expanded as Lord Balaram, direct expansion. Completely the same in all facets, except the colour of his skin and the colour of his dhoti. That's the only thing that's different, really. He's taking this mood of servant. But why does he take the mood of servant? Because it's actually the most blissful position. It's even more blissful than being God. It's actually described here in my verse, that this position of being a servant is more blissful. By this position of servant, one is actually able to purchase the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But by trying to be a controller, what can you get? Just lots of headache. That's all you get, is you get big headaches. You try to control things. You know what it's like, you know? If you're a family person, you try to control your children, how does it... doesn't work very well, does it? They just do their own thing. They just do what they want to do. So when we try to control, it's just a big headache. But actually, when we become the servant, by this service relationship, we purchase the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Lord Balaram, he's giving us this wonderful example of service. And he manifests himself from his personal form. He manifests himself in so many different ways to serve Krishna and his whole existence. And we see that also when Nityananda came, he would just be serving the Lord. Lakshman, also the same thing, serving Lord Ram. So the Lord, he takes this mood of service to show us, because he is the original guru. Understand this, he is Adi Guru, he is the original guru. And he teaches by his example. One of the things is, we use this term acharya. So acharya means one who teaches by example. So Lord Balaram, he is setting us the perfect example that his whole existence is dedicated to the service of Krishna. And he's indicating that Krishna, he is the master and all others are his servants. So it's a very wonderful example. It's also a very auspicious day to try to meditate upon this service mood. Even though he is the supreme controller himself. There's no one, you know, more supreme than Lord Balaram. Even though he's the supreme controller himself, he takes the mood of a servant, because this is the most blissful position. He's showing us by example. Even Lord Chaitanya, when he descended as a servant, as a devotee of Krishna, to show the bliss that you can experience through the process of devotional service. So there's so much good example there, and Lord Balaram is setting a perfect example of this servitude. So, you know, it's a very auspicious day for us to meditate upon this example of Lord Balaram, his service attitude, his service mood, and to pray that we can, you know, understand this just a little bit, you know, and try to take up that same mood of service. This completely for the service of the Supreme Personality of God. Okay, I'll finish there. Is there any comments or questions at all? Sri Hari Bhakti Bhaji. Yeah, because he's setting the perfect example. And it's actually only through the spiritual master that one can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You cannot approach him. There's a verse in the Adi Purana that points that out, where Lord Krishna is explaining I never remember to this day. This is all mixed up. Yeah, may back the Janana part. Yeah, may back the. Just online. Get that one together. But Lord Krishna is pointing out how the one who says he's my devotee, he's not my devotee. But that person who says he's the devotee of my devotee, he is actually my devotee. But just to say that I'm the devotee of your devotee, what is that? That doesn't mean anything. No, when we become a devotee, you know, we demonstrate by our behavior. A devotee is known by behavior, not by dress. You know, we can wear, you know, the tilak and the kanti mala and the dhoti and things like that. Yet if the behavior is not there, then it doesn't, you know, doesn't say we're devotee. You can go to India and you see so many people who are dressed like this, you know. They wear, you know, tilak, they have kanti mala, and they're drinking tea and they're smoking cigarettes and doing so many other nonsense things. You know, they can read Bhagavad Gita. Some of them they even read and they say the whole thing's allegorical. You know, the Pandavas means, you know, the five senses. Kurukshetra means the body. Krishna's a mythical person, didn't even exist. And claiming to be devotees of Krishna. Yet they're saying that Krishna doesn't exist. Of course he exists, he's right here. How can you deny the existence of Krishna? Only a fool would say such things. So we see that there are many people in this world who are claiming to be Vaishnavas, claiming to be devotees of the Lord, yet their behavior is not coming up to the standard. One who's a devotee actually by their behavior. Devotee is known by behavior, not by just dress. So Lord Balaram is one of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, showing us the way. It's not just, you know, we just talk about it, well, you should do this and you should do that. No, in order to inspire others, Prabhupada would say, this is apaniya chari prabhuji vera sikhaya. If first your behavior should become ideal, then you can teach. Right? Because when people see ideal behavior, they're inspired. I'll give you a good example from my life. When I was a child, my mother would often tell us not to smoke, not to take drugs. Yeah? They're very bad for you. She would say this time and time again. She would smoke, you know, at least a pack and a half of cigarettes a day. Every day she was drunk. I mean, what kind of example is that? You know, we all didn't take any notice of what she was saying because she wasn't setting a good example. So, you know, and there's a really interesting story that Prabhupada tells. Her son was eating a lot of sweets, and she just tried and tried and tried to get this child not to eat sweets because they're bad. You know, sweets, you know, sugar is just not good for your body, especially excessively. And so she went to Mahatma Gandhi and she said, "Oh, Gandhiji, please," she was begging me, "please tell my son not to eat sweets, they're bad for him." And he said, "Okay, you come back in 2 weeks and I will tell him." She was a little bit perplexed, she couldn't understand why he can't say that, but anyhow she did that. She went away and came back, and then Gandhi said to the boy, he says, "Don't eat sweets, they're bad for you." "Oh yes, Gandhiji." And then she was perplexed, she's thinking, "But Gandhiji, why didn't you tell him that 2 weeks ago?" He says, "Because 2 weeks ago I was also eating sweets." So this is integrity. You know, and a Vaishnava is a person of integrity. How can we go out and tell people, "Don't do this, don't do that, you should worship Krishna, you should do this," and don'ts, which is, you know, essentially Vaidhi Sandabhakti means do's and don'ts. Rupa Goswami explains all this in the Nectar devotional, the do's and don'ts of devotional service. How can we encourage others to follow this process if we ourselves aren't following it? So Lord Balaram, by his example, is showing he's following the process. He's instructing the Kumaras how to serve Krishna, and he himself is also serving Krishna fully. So he's giving us this inspiration and this example of how to go forward in the process of devotional service. Anything else? Shri Prabhupada ki, 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 Shri Prabhupada ki,